Welcome to Human Music on KVSH LP Vashon. I am your host, Mira Joe. On this show, I talk with other musicians about the creative process, and we listen to music together. My guest today is Andrew Tedder. Welcome, Andrew, to Human Music.
Thank you very much.
So great to have you. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. I moved to Vashon about four to five years ago and just fell in love with this place. And some people say there's not much to do, but I enjoy the simplicity of the island. And it's contributed to me writing 11 songs on ukulele, working on a full-length album. Nothing's close to being done, but it's live ready, where I can play it in front of people, but it's not produced yet.
I love how places can inspire music and the creative process.
Yeah. And I find ideas can happen too when I'm out, like on my bike and whatnot. It's just sometimes in the elements, it can, it can inspire ideas.
That's wonderful. And I really feel like Vashon definitely has a soul, and there is some energy here that I think that's why we're so creative here on Vashon.
I would say so. I've never felt more at home. I've always been an oddball and just owned it. So Vashon's been very comfortable for me.
We love our oddballs. So tell us how you got into music and an early memory of music.
Yeah. I grew up watching The Lion King every morning at like 6 or 7 a.m., unfortunately for my dad, because that's a lot. But I think that might have played into how much I love music, because that's just an incredible soundtrack. My first instrument was the drums, and is still my favorite instrument by far. My brother was a drummer, and I would just go into his room and kind of just drum on the toms. I don't think I knew how to use the kick pedal yet, but just started doing that. And then from there, I can't remember how I got into guitar, but guitar and poetry and songwriting, I started doing that in seventh grade and just fell in love with the songwriting process and just being able to do whatever you want in a song, and there's no rules.
And so I noticed you said poetry. So you, when you're writing, do you think of, I guess, the difference between lyrics or poetry, or it's just what it is?
I would say it is what it is right there. For lyrics, I'm definitely more free verse than anything. I'm more about just getting the song. I don't really think of stanzas or anything like that, but I do love poetry. I'm just not as organized as that.
And what kind of poetry do you like?
I wasn't prepared for this. I don't have any artists off the top of my head, but poets in music, I'm really inspired by Connor Oberst from Bright Eyes and Benjamin Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie. Just the pictures they would paint, it's wonderful. You just dive into those songs because the lyrics can be so vivid or thought-provoking that it's just really exciting. Love it.
I completely agree. It's interesting because, you know, I too, when I'm writing, I think of my lyrics more like a poetry.
Yeah.
Not in the formal sense, but I do really appreciate, I guess, lyrical lyrics.
Yeah. Well, and it's just a whole nother, stringing lyrics together is a whole nother instrument, which is really fun. And then when I work on melody lines with the words, that's when the magic comes alive, because I find that I want the melody to match the words, and I kind of want whatever chord progression I find, I want it to fit that as well. So.
And so you're listening to the Lion King soundtrack, and I love that because there's so much beauty in these soundtracks, and
oh, yeah.
It's tied to the visual, but it's often so visual. And so what kind of music did you end up kind of listening to as you were growing up?
What kind of music? My brother was into a band called Five Iron Frenzy, which is like a kind of like a ska band. So early on through my brother, I was introduced to ska and punk, like bands like MXPX, who hail from Bremerton. Got that started. I also got really into Underoath and like hardcore metal screaming type music. I love it all. And music's emotion, and it's a beautiful thing.
Did you get to go to a lot of live shows? Where are you from originally?
Not too much. I went to a bunch of open mics, in my 20s, but, in terms of live shows, I think I only went to one band's concert, which was a band called the Tack Attack, and they were playing at a place called the Satyricon that was in Portland, and that was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so how would you say your music, your writing of music, has that changed? Did you start off in one kind of type of music and then, or has it always been sort of consistent in terms of your voice?
I'd say before vocal training, it was pretty rough. And I'm not a, like, some people can just not practice and just stay good at singing, and I'm not one of those people. So vocals are fun because it's something you kind of have, you constantly have to be polishing the rock, at least for me personally. And just as I've listened to more music, I have a song which has some spoken words. So I think I've definitely gotten away from more traditional songwriting and realized there's no rules with the music. And the songs don't have to be extremely thought out. Sometimes a little short song in an album can really just make it pop. So that's fun to realize not every song has to be a long ballad.
Yeah, and what is your musical process? Do you kind of sit down intending to write a song, or do you feel something and then pick up an instrument?
Lots of times I'll pick up an instrument and just record myself and see what my subconscious has to say. Like, I use filler words to find my melodies, and through that I'll try to find a phrase and I write a song from that phrase. So kind of going backwards, I guess, or whatever that would be.
And then you write them on the guitar, or the what do you write your songs on? Is it just the melody first?
Yeah, melody. Sometimes, like my song Simply, that's available on Spotify. That song, I was inspired by Bruno Mars, and like the songs don't sound anything. It's just interesting where we draw. I got off topic. But that song, I started on the drums and just had like a four on the floor, and then a melody came to me, and I started that song on the drums. So I think it's fun to see how songs take shape when you start on different instruments and have a different process.
I love that. And then you were about to say something about kind of the difference between being inspired by a song and then also writing a song, being inspired by it.
Okay. So for inspiration, I say I just listen to music, and then eventually I listen to so much of it, I just pick up something and I'm just inspired because I call it sponge mode, because I'm just taking in inspiration, whether it be music I'm listening to or a movie, just any kind of art. Watching a dancer can inspire me to write a song. Just seeing people create their art is inspiring, whether it be skateboarding or dance. I love art. I really do. Yeah.
And have you been performing live anywhere in the past?
I was playing at the Cliffs Bar before it changed to the Winery, I think. But as I've had a later schedule working at Thriftway, I have not been performing as much, but it's been kind of nice to just step back and hide out and write and then appear here and there, because I'm not always wanting to be in front of a lot of people.
And what is the plan for working on the album? Is that something where you're going to be recording it and producing it yourself?
Not at all. I'm terrible with technology. I'll be working with a buddy of mine, who also has a band in Seattle. They're called Terra Nobody. Awesome band. But he's going to be recording and producing me. And it's really fun to work with a buddy on that, and also have complete control of my songs too, because I don't know, you spend a lot of time with these songs, and it's fun to be able to make all the calls.
And then are you going to be playing all the instruments?
No, I'll probably, he'll definitely be on guitar. He's a very talented guitarist and a better piano player than I am. So we'll probably have some piano in there as well. And I will be playing bass though. I've recently gotten into bass lines and how much they can bring a song out or make people want to dance. Just bass is awesome.
I love that. I also recently started playing bass, and I've always written all my songs on guitar, but I feel like in a weird way, the bass is more critical into a song. You can really follow what the song is through a bass line, which I never really experienced before. And I like I think about it, the song differently, and I think about music differently by playing the bass versus the guitar.
It's really fun. And also about the bass, it's like you can play things that you wouldn't be able to play on guitar. Like, and you could have a fairly complicated bass part and still blend it well. It's not going to just overpower everything. That's kind of the beauty of the lower notes. Yeah.
It's funny. I think there's a joke around, you know, great bass player you don't notice in the song.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's always hard for, I think, bassists who are too busy, but it's a very delicate balance between being too much and just enough to keep it going.
Yeah, yeah. One of my favorite lines from bass lines, I think the artist is called, I think they're called Hot Chocolate, and the song was called Sexy Thing. The doom, doom. What? Am I not allowed to do that for?
No.
Oh, okay.
Go for it.
I know there's copyright stuff, so I didn't want to get in trouble. But the bass line for that is like doom, 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 boom, boom. I mean, talk about simple, but it really just feels great. Learning that music doesn't have to be extremely complicated to be fun to listen to, you know? I think sometimes as humans, we seek out simple songs because life gets so complicated. I know for me.
Good point. I mean, in a lot of ways, you know, the groove is grounding. And I think that's what you're talking about in terms of the simplicity. It's like there's nothing more simple than feeling the groove.
I like that. The groove is grounding. Yeah, for sure.
And we can all find the groove together. And I think that's what, you know, when you're listening to live music with other people, it's, you're all on the same vibe. And I think that's part of doing this show too, is that I love listening to music with other people.
Yeah.
You're listening to Human Music on KVSH LP Vashon. And I'm with my guest, Andrew Tedder. And I think that's a great segue into listening to the song that you've chosen. So can you tell us what song you've chosen?
Are we talking about the song I'm
going to... Oh, that you're going to, that we're going to listen to together.
Listen to, yes. I wouldn't say I know the song extremely well, but the song Wallet by Regina Spektor really kind of opened my eyes to like, wow, here's a very simple idea that she made into a song, and it's one of my favorites because it probably just happened as she was going through daily life. I don't think she planned it out. I think this song, Wallet, wrote itself, and she just used her imagination to like imagine whose wallet it was and what kind of life they've lived and such, and what might have brought them to losing their wallet. So I found it fascinating and inspiring as a songwriter that I could write a song about anything. It doesn't matter. It's just whatever is fun to write. You know, Rick Rubin says, write music for yourself. And that helped change too. It's because if you start to write for other people, you're not going to enjoy what you're doing. Write it for yourself. Because if you're not enjoying it, I think people pick up on it.
Great. Regina Spektor, Wallet.
I found a wallet in Outside were pictures of your small family. You were so young, your hair dark brown. You had been born in 1953. Your winter birthday was stamped on the plastic of a license so recently expired. I was so tired as I walked through my door. I laid all the contents of your wallet on the floor. And like a holy relic or a mystery novel, I thumbed them in the dim light. Blockbuster card, an old stick of juicy fruit, a crumpled receipt from a pair of leather boots. I have no wallet, I have no wallet. I keep my cards together with a blue rubber band, and with a free hand I search in my pocket for pieces of paper and change. I'll take your wallet to my local Blockbuster. They'll find your number in their computer. You'll never know me, I'll never know you, but you'll be so happy when they call you.
That was Regina Spektor's Wallet. Wow. Her voice, first of all, what a voice.
Yeah.
It just carries you to a very special place.
It does. I feel she sings from the heart greatly.
Yeah, and it's a light, fun song, too.
Yeah.
And so it is amazing that she's able to create that feeling when talking about something so ordinary as finding somebody's wallet.
It's like this song, she's just kind of remixing her life experience.
Yeah, it actually, when I was listening to it, it makes me think of something I heard on a radio show. Actually, they were interviewing somebody and she was saying that after one of her relatives died, she was going through their things, and they found all the grocery lists that they had over every day. And so she just started reading the grocery lists for every day.
Wow.
And that she felt so close to the person just from doing something simple like that. And that's what struck me about this, is just the simple things that create an intimacy about between people.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything doesn't always have to be just straightforward and blatant. Something, the subtleties of life are just as beautiful, if not more, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's really, you do have a pretty strong idea or feeling about who this person is, that the owner of the wallet, right?
Yeah.
And also a feeling of who she is as the writer of the lyrics, right?
Yeah.
There's something that she's noticing about all of these different items and having a feeling about too.
Yeah.
It's funny to see Blockbuster. I remember when they went out of business.
Yeah. And just, I mean, who can sing the word juicy fruit and make it sound that beautiful? Regina Spektor.
I love it. Absolutely.
We can't take our ears off of it.
No, I totally agree. I know it's interesting, you know, sometimes agonizing over like the word that you're going to use to describe something in a song, the perfect word. And I feel like, you know, this feels kind of very effortless, you know, it's like thrown in there very effortlessly.
Would you say candid?
Yes. Very much so.
There's an honesty to it that is just very refreshing. It's not, it's not trying to be anything, just what it is.
Yeah, I felt that too, you know, just not trying to impress anyone. And I feel like, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot, you know, how much, I think what you were saying earlier, how much we do for ourselves and how much we do for other people, you know, and just the dangers of living in a false reality where you're doing things for other people rather than for yourself.
Yeah.
It can really be psychologically damaging sometimes if you go too far into that realm. And as a musician, it's like so exposing sometimes, but I think the strength of actually just being who you are in the moment is really gives you a kind of weird superpower.
Yeah, well, and the crazy thing about music too, I mean, not so much for recordings because things can be tweaked and stuff, but live, it's like you can never play the song exactly the same. There's always going to be some minor mistake that brings out the human in it, and it's called human music. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, there we go. Tried to tie it in there.
Thank you.
But that to me is just so interesting, you know, and I think how we receive music has to do with what's going on in life at the time too. It's like when you listen to it, you get something new each time.
Yeah. And she, you know, when she refers to kind of her not having a wallet, right? So she's found this wallet and then I have no wallet. And you know, she keeps her cards in with a blue rubber band. And there is something, you know, it kind of conjured up this like bard, this traveling bard image, you know, just very make do with what you have.
Yeah. I think she uses the blue rubber band kind of as a representation of like, I'm not as organized, more of a free roamer. I can't think of the word, but yeah.
Yeah. Free roamer. And, you know, to have, I don't know, sometimes I think I've been through periods where writing music, making music is more, it's just heavier or more serious. And
yeah,
it's just, I'm very much feeling this, like making it for the sake of having joy, you know?
Yeah. And writing a song that can be your own mood booster. I wrote a song. Well, this is when I was still writing for other people, but I still enjoy playing it, but it's my song Starfish, and not playing that one today, but my goal on that one is to just make a song that was just a mood booster. And so it ended up being encouraging for me too, to sing it, because, you know, it's fun to have happy songs, maybe not all the time. Me personally, I prefer melancholy songs are some of my favorite, and just sad, because realness, relatability, not every day is going to be great, and you don't want to hear about a super awesome day if you're not having one usually.
I love this idea of writing songs as a mood booster. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, it is, sometimes you can fall into this, well, life is happening to me, right? That kind of attitude, and it's like, no, actually it's happening and I have a lot of agency. I just have to find out what that agency is. And if it's for you sitting down and writing a song that boosts your mood, like that's a wonderfully empowering thing.
Yeah.
And just, I think that's why we love music so much, because when we feel something and we put on a song, it is like medicine.
Yeah.
I noticed in her, I was reading her Wikipedia page, and she said she was influenced, one of her influences is Chopin. And she has a classical music background. And
did you say Chopin?
Yeah, Chopin.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And her piano playing does call up kind of that classical music feel.
Yeah.
The way, the kind of the rhythm of it and some of the melodic things that happen. And so I thought that was really interesting because I grew up playing classical music first before I started writing songs. And I always felt like classical music and my songs were so far apart. And I didn't really understand like how the two things were related. And I remember I was talking to a friend of mine trying to like understand like the theory behind classical music structure and more pop music and, you know, trying to understand how those things fit together. And recently I've stopped writing songs more regularly and gone back to classical music because it's sort of a relief to just play somebody else's music.
Yeah.
And so when I heard this, I got very inspired and I was like, yes, I am I felt like I'm on some path here. It's not that I'm just like randomly like writing songs 1 minute and then playing classical pieces another. It's like all part of this bigger musical journey.
When you heard this song?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Song.
Yeah. I think the juxtaposition of her classical background and whimsical writing is just enchanting. It's really fun.
And I also heard it almost struck me kind of like a musical. I love musicals. And so maybe this is why I'm thinking about this. But she's telling this story. It does have a feeling like it's a musical, like a scene in a musical. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, no, I'd definitely say so, especially the tempo switch up and kind of the more of the majestic part of the song when the kind of the bass and cello, whatever was doing the string, I didn't catch it all, to be honest, but I just knew that it moved me and it was a very satisfying place to land in the music and then to bring it back too, you know, it kind of, that was nice.
And so do you listen, what are her, kind of the other songs of hers that you really enjoy or listen to?
What's another song? Give me a second here. I'm trying to... this song, Bird on a Wire, another one that's just very Regina Spektor. I'm not sure if you guys can pull it up or if there's only one. I don't want to mess with your station.
No, let's pull it up. Bird on a Wire.
Yeah. I think it's another short one, but another kind of similar type thing. Her All songs, right. Yeah, it's just refreshing.
Let's listen to Regina Spektor, Bird on a Wire.
To fly away, and the other watches him close from that wire. He says he wants to as well, but he is a liar. I'll believe never going to let go of that wire. He says that he will, but he's just a liar. Two birds on a wire. One tries to fly away, and the other watches him close from that wire. He says he wants to as well, but he is a liar. On a wire, one tries to fly away, and the other.
Wow, that was beautiful. It's so funny. I don't know if it's because we started our conversation with The Lion King, but I saw her as like an animated figure on a rooftop singing this song, kind of like, you know, from Mary Poppins or something.
Yeah.
This chimney sweep song. It's like, I very much had this visual.
Wow. Yeah.
It was very, you know, it's interesting the way that she, like the composition of the song, like the different phases of it, the different parts of it, and the way she creates those with like kind of the expansiveness and then the punchiness, like it has different feelings.
Oh, for sure. And the way she strings it together too, it's kind of like, I mean, System of a Down jumps a lot around a lot too, and hers is kind of like a very peaceful version of System of a Down. The way she kind of travels about. I liked because songs like this interest me because I'm not sure if she was like sitting on a bench and looked up and saw these birds and had these thoughts in her head, or if these birds are symbolism for like people or just like parts of life. I found that interesting.
I love that. Yeah, there is, you know, when you see something, it's so hard like to, when you, I started watercoloring recently, and you know, one of the things is you can try to take a picture of something and then paint from the picture, but it's not the same as being in the place, painting from the reality. And I'm like, why is that? But you know, there is like, it's funny what you're saying about like her sitting on a bench and seeing the two birds on a wire, and that the fact that she can capture that feeling and put us in that place that you're talking about. You know, it's pretty amazing. I think it's like a honestness or realness.
Yeah. Well, and there is, I hope this relates, but I'm trying to remember what quote it's by. I think it might be by Frank Zappa, but it is music. So what is it? Art decorates like environments and spaces. Music decorates time.
Art decorates.
And I might be saying it wrong.
No, that's okay. Let's go through it. Art decorates. What was it?
Just like, maybe you could look it up so I don't.
Yeah, let's.
Looks like Jim's on
let's it. Let's look it up. Art decorates space. Music decorates time. And it is Basquiat.
Okay, whoops.
Yes, Jean-Michel Basquiat. Art decorates space and music decorates time.
That just was wonderful when I saw that. I'm a huge fan of quotes. It's not a song, but it's equally profound in the simplicity and the way these quotes can inspire us.
Oh, that is really inspiring because, I mean, what is time? You don't have to get too philosophical.
You can get philosophical. That's where I like to live.
What is the meaning of time? You know, there's Cronus versus Cronus time versus Kairos time. And actually, we were giving out candy, Jim and I, on Halloween night, and I dressed up as Kairos, the Greek god, because, you know, Chronos time is logical, sequential time, and Kairos time has more to do with the moment.
Interesting.
Of time. Yeah.
I feel like that's where I like to live, because I mean, I'm okay at logic, but school is a nightmare. If there was a way to get confused, I always found it, you know. And just like growing up, my mom, she said that we are given like four pictures to put together in the way that made sense, the logical order, and I put them in the wrong order and explained why I did so.
Mm.
So it's. It feels very nice to be out of school and just be able to experience life and, you know, pretend to be an adult. I think we're all faking it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, you know, this idea of the opportunity I get in with Kairos is this opportunistic time, like the time of opportunity, and, you know, he has wings on his feet because you have to seize it, right? You have to seize that time, and you have to have kind of a finger on the pulse of time, right? And yeah, you're right. Why can't images in a string, why can't one be a flashback and one be a forward? And, you know, that's sort of how our brains work anyways.
Yeah.
We get these images and impressions that kind of enter at different times, whether it's a memory or thinking forward, right? Everything is informing the present moment.
Yeah. I think that's why, not to get off topic, but I think that's why we like movies that show little, whoops, I didn't know I talk with my hands, that show little glimpses back in time or like a little foreshadowing, I think, because we can relate more, because that's more how we receive life. It's never just cut and dry. It's messy and it's unpredictable.
Yeah, there's that Philip Glass movie. It's a document, Koyana Skatsi, and it's just clips of different scenes and music.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a story that's being told, and actually there was a recent movie that was very similar that I saw about, it's called Architecton.
Uh-huh.
And it's a documentary about stone and concrete and architecture. And you just get sucked into these worlds. And I think what I love about these is that you lose track of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like the human time that you normally experience. It kind of sucks you into a world and you just sort of lose track of where you are.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I like that feeling. Maybe because it challenges the status quo. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that some people like to live with like everything set in stone and like planned out, and others like to go with the flow, you know? And I think that's part of the reason I love Vashon is because you don't really know what's going to happen. Even at work, you know, I work at Thriftway. You just, there's a lot of big personalities and interesting people, and that's wonderful.
Well, you've been listening to KVSHLP, Voice of Vashon, your listener-supported island connection. Andrew, I'm so excited to ask you to perform one of your songs for us.
I'm going to be playing my original song called Cerebrum. I wrote this song to represent the chaos of my mind. Think before I speak. Never think before I sleep. I'm washing the last window of a thousand-story building with peat moss for my squeegee. cheap. Flying over the vast sea, with each pump of my arms, feeling like doing 47 one-handed push-ups. Cause I don't know what my cerebrum is doing. Most of the time, it's static on an ultraviolet television. Did I mention my vision is blurry? Maybe I just think too much. Perhaps I'm in too much of a rush. What's the purpose of this all? Does the ever-expanding universe make you feel terribly small? Cause my eyes are just a for my body, and they keep this imagination amused. Can see the real, easily create a world in my mind. Gently drop a floppy full of antique wisdom bits into the catacombs of casual chaos. Throw a wine glass into the fan. Class dismissed. Staring deeply at the wall, I can see 5 minutes into the future, and I've sutured all my frequent frivolous fears into what's expected of me. What my cerebrum is doing. Most of the time, it's static on an ultraviolet television. Did I mention my vision is blurry? Cause my eyes are a gesture for my body, and they keep this imagination amused. Can visualize entire civilizations. Oh yeah. Oh. Cause my gesture for my body, and they keep this imagination amused. Can visualize entire civilizations with this mind.
Wow. Thank you, Andrew Tedder, my guest on Voice of Vashon. That was wonderful. You really took me on a journey there.
Thank you.
I really appreciated that. It's so funny. I love how you focus on your eyes, and those are the windows of perception. But instead of looking out, and it is this pathway between looking out and then also creating these.
Yeah, the relationship between the both, right? Without the eyes. I mean, if I was blind, I think creativity would still exist, obviously, but just in a much different fashion.
Yeah, it's, and your voice, you have a great voice. And
thank
it
you.
Does sound, it makes me think of Ben Gibbard. I know you Death Cab for Cutie.
Huge Death Cab for Cutie.
Who cannot like Death Cab for Cutie? But you have your own voice. You have your own style, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. It's a very you style, I would say.
Thank you.
It's very personal to you, it seems.
Yeah, yeah. For songwriting, I don't tend to plan out the genre, but the songs whatever the song calls for, I do. Obviously, my music's not going to be that different throughout life, but because you're always going to sound like you. And I used to try to make things sound different, but now it's just like, why try to make something different? Why not just let it happen organically?
And you can really sing about anything, you know? I mean, anything. I mean, that's kind of what I hear in your lyrics. That's what I hear about in Regina Spektor's lyrics. And it is the music, the voice, the orchestration, if you need it or want it, that tells a story. And I don't mean this as a this is not to be an insult, but I've been listening to these like sleep stories for sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these stories like describe scenes in every minutia. Like the cup on the windowsill. And I was just thinking, I was like,
kind of Seinfeld-esque, because it's my favorite show by far, at least for sitcoms. The taking another look at the things like the minutia that you're saying and garnering more, I'm not sure if that's the right word. I'll just say it. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but whatever. And then garnering your own take on the way to look at it, like just like when people look at art or like my ukulele sitting here.
Yeah.
One person could see a beautiful instrument. Another person could see a piece of junk. if they need something that's super fancy or whatnot.
Yeah, it's funny because these stories they're marketed as where nothing really happens in the stories to help you fall asleep. And of course it's written or read by somebody with a very soothing voice so that you can fall asleep. But I really find them compelling. And I don't know, I think sometimes I get too wrapped up in trying to describe an image in a way that's, I want to say impressive or flowery or something like that, And I think that's just it's a pitfall. It's a trick to think like, oh, reality has to be dressed up.
Yeah.
In order for it to be meaningful.
I think that's why I'm drawn to music like punk music too, because it's the imperfections and it's not trying to make things pretty. It's just trying to be honest.
And so where were you when you were writing that song? How did that song come about?
I don't really remember writing that one. I'd have to think about that. But I remember playing it to my ex-girlfriend. We're still really good friends. And I remember I was just going to put this one on the shelf. And then she said, I really like this one. You should keep working on that. So I do remember that factoid of being inspired by a dear friend now. To pursue the song. So thank you, Kelsey.
Thank you, Kelsey. I have that experience too, where you give up on a song and then somebody hears it and they're like, no, that was, 'cause I think sometimes it's so hard when you're in your mind.
Yeah.
to really decipher like is this, you know, what is this?
Like, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I was able to, like in school, if I tried my best, then I would go easy on myself. And I've kind of been able to take that and put it into music and realize that, okay, we're going to make mistakes. You know, everybody's at a different caliber. Once I tried to stop being the best, then I enjoyed music to the fullest. And I think my parents, they taught me a valuable lesson in school because it was always about how hard I was trying, not the grades I got, because they knew that it just wasn't a good fit. You know, especially math, that is still very difficult for me. But taking what I've learned from those subjects and applying it to something that I used to be such a perfectionist at is really making me enjoy music more.
I love that. I mean, I really question sometimes school and what it teaches you and what it's trying to do. And
yeah,
it, you know, I mean, what I remember about school are great teachers.
Yeah.
You know, that connection.
Oh, I definitely, yeah, got along with the teachers and was usually there trying to stay after class to get a good grade, you know. Ironically, once I quit taking Adderall, like after high school, I realized I didn't care about grades much at all.
I mean, what are grades, really? Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, I have
it's an interesting thing.
It is an interesting thing because I have this theory that AI is actually going to make us more human. And because
I like that.
Because, you know, there all these students and stuff are using AI to compose things.
Yeah.
And so that's what it made me think of is, you know, is school just regurgitating things that you know or knowledge? Like,
yeah.
Is that the point? If so, then yes, AI is a valid substitute. But if we don't, you know, what are we beyond regurgitating knowledge?
Yeah, I think the structure is good, you know, getting into the habit of doing that. But also, if it wasn't for school, I'm not sure if I would have leaned into music as heavy because I struggled so much. And then I found something like, oh my goodness, I can, if I work at this, I actually get better. It's not what school was for me, where try your best in math and get an F. So it was very refreshing to find a medium that that I could get better at easier. You know, there was natural talent and then just working with it, because talent's one thing, but without the passion and the drive to work at something, you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah, and hearing your story, just, I guess I feel sad that, you know, school can have such a negative impact on kids. And, you know, to feel like you're not good at something at that age, at such a young age.
Yeah, but I look at it as a blessing now, because that gave me tougher skin. I don't care if I'm wrong about something. I'll try to make it right. But I mean, you can't be afraid of failure. You're going to live a miserable life.
Yeah, it's funny. I did fairly well in school, but it was all not for me. It's like I didn't care how I did in school, but it was for my parents. And that's what I thought was meaningful.
Yeah.
And, but it gave me zero meaning. And I think when, you know, like zero personal satisfaction. And I very much felt like, oh, this is just a game, a thing I have to do in order to keep my parents happy. But music, when I discovered music, I was like, oh, this is how I truly can express myself and make my reality, my internal reality and external reality.
Yeah. I mean, it's such an interesting thing. You're not doing something very physical and it's bringing you so much for how little, I mean, it's mainly emotion, you know, not as much, unless you're doing musicals and dancing around and all that. And that's great too. I personally can't dance, but yeah, music's cool.
So what's next for you? Next is, have you written all the songs you need for your album?
I'm not sure yet, because just trying to save up some money right now. And also when my buddy is free, I think what's next is I'll be releasing my song called Oh Well. My mission on this one is to write a short song. And it was really fun to just try to get something narrowed down. It was a challenge. And some of my favorite songs are like 2 minutes long. Like, things don't have to be long. I love long songs too, but I wanted one that people could listen to and just take in, that just came at you.
I love that. Well, you need a GoFundMe or something, however it is that people can contribute to your cause, because you need to make an album. Would this be your first album? Or
I have an EP. I need to figure out what's going on, because some songs got taken down because I forgot to upgrade like the distributor. You pay, I don't want to name the company name just because, I don't know, they've done a lot. But so yeah, there's an EP out, or it will be up soon again, which is like four songs. And just in my music, I like to take like different sounds, you know, like we were recording in a warehouse for and I saw this chain link fence, and I thought it would make a cool sound, so I hit it really hard, and then we recorded it, and then just added a nice sound to the song. So my album's going to be full of things like that, and spoken word, and just the artistry that I really want to make sure that it can just stand out as an art piece. And I don't really care how far it goes. I just enjoy making music, and I don't think I'd ever want to do it full time. I enjoy just being a cashier and just being with people in the moment and getting inspiration from that, and creating and performing when I want to perform.
Well, that's how we met. I was checking out of Thriftway, and you were telling me about the music you were listening to, and found out that you were this musician, and come to find out you're writing these incredible songs.
Oh, why, thank you.
And it's so great to see this part of you, and I'm so grateful that you came on our show.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation.
And shared that with our listeners.
I've had a great time.
Thank you, Andrew Tedder, for being my guest. You've been listening to Human Music. I'm your host, Mira Jo. My guest today has been Andrew Tedder. On Human Music, I talk with other musicians about the creative process, and we listen to music together. And thank you to Jim Marsh for producing the show today. Tune into his Whiskey Hour radio program every Friday at 9 p.m. on KVSHLP Vashon, your listener-supported island connection.